All right, this is about to be one of the livest shows that y'all have ever been a part of. This is Impacting Life 24/7, ladies and gentlemen, with your host, CL King, coming to you.
This meeting is being recorded.
Coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here in Jacksonville, North Carolina, the home of Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, and the home of my friend for the next hour, the great, the notorious, the infamous, the incomparable, the unimaginable, that I could get him on my show again, Dr. Tabari Wallace. And let me tell you something, he is no stranger to our show, but more than being not a stranger to our show, he is no stranger to making an impact. And ladies and gentlemen, as you know, when I have people on this show, we cut folks that audition that ain't making an impact. I say, you know what? It's like auditioning for that show that them people used to say, next, go on. What was that? What was that show, man? Something in America. Yeah, you audition. Yeah, you audition on this show, but if you ain't making an impact, we have to say goodbye. And what I have bringing to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have cleared your schedule, because you're going to hear from a man that has circumnavigated the globe of education. I'm not just talking about someone that has done it on a granular level, but he has utilized his influence now that it started with just 37 in a class, and now Tabari Wallace is at the table to impact 1.5 million students in North Carolina. But it doesn't stop at North Carolina. It also includes that this man was summoned to the Ellen DeGeneres show because of his work and his impact. So he doesn't just impact North Carolina. He impacts the seven seas, ladies and gentlemen. And I am delighted, of all people, to have twisted his arm one more time to say, Tabari, Dr. Wallace, as we close out this school year, can you come give us a few words of encouragement? So I am blessed, ladies and gentlemen, to have on our show the one, the only, my friend and brother, Dr. Tabari Wallace. Welcome, Tabari.
Thank you so much. Yeah. After that introduction, I'm just going to pack up and go. I'm going to leave it right there while they're leaving good, boss.
Yeah, man, you know, we try to do that because you know how it is when you get an introduction at a place and somebody hasn't really prepared or done their homework, and they're just like, okay, coming to the stage now, you know, CL King. And I'm just like, wow, come on, really? Brother. I've been at really? This for a while. Can you give me just a one sentence introduction? So we want to make everyone who comes on this show, regardless of their pedigree or background, understand that we are introducing someone special. And I kind of got that from you. Because every time you introduced me to those kids, you made me feel like I was DMX. You made me feel like I was global, brother. And I just was barely carrying a suitcase in my trunk. So again, ladies and gentlemen, I am glad to have with me my friend. And you know, this is probably going to be an unconventional show. Tabari Wallace, he hails from New Bern, North Carolina. And so what we're going to do first, because I've had him on now three times, I probably will have to talk to his agent to get him on for the fourth time. But Tabari, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, man? Get everybody who doesn't know you, if there is anybody who doesn't know you, get us caught up a little bit about yourself and your life's journey.
Well, I would say I hail from New Bern. This is what I claim, born. I'm a military brat, born in Puerto Rico. And we moved to South Carolina, then moved here, and we've been here ever since. Humble beginnings, Five Points Finest, right outside of Craven Terrace, when we first got here and then moved to Duffield, still 5 points. And I'm proud to say that I am from there, because it definitely gives you an outlook and a perspective on life that you do have to work to attain and to get anything that this world has for you. You're not going to be given anything. And I think that's one of the best lessons ever learned from my humble beginnings coming up. Graduated from the Craven County school system, played some football, had some football going on with East Carolina, played football, some post-collegiate ball, some in the pros. And then I went into education. But what a lot of people don't know, before I get to the educational story, that Jabari Wallace is a statistic.
Yeah.
You know, during that time, you know, if you had a child in high school, you got to remember that it isn't now. You know, now it's a lot more common. But before, you know, they said you never amount to anything. You never do this. You never do that. This and that. Well, I'm glad to say that at 16, me and it was my baby mom at the time, my wife now, we had our child. We're both married now. We're still together after all this time. We're in the 30-somethings now as far as time together. And when the ones that told us we wasn't going to make it, see, that both my wife now just graduated with her doctorate in this past month. I finished in July. The daughter has a advanced degree as well. And all the boys, my brothers, have advanced degrees. So for the ones who said that, you know, because you had a child at that age, that we wasn't going to make it and you just destroyed your life. Okay. Well, I'm looking you in your eyes and saying, I think we're pretty well to do. We got 7 more years and then we'll be like you are, retired. And be able to look back and see what, you know, see what we accomplished. But tragedy to triumph, just like I told my babies at graduation. But, you know, from there, New Bern High School as a teacher, went into administration during my 5th year of education, was assistant principal for 5 years, and then went into the principalship at Havelock Middle, where I met you. All the schools that I were at as assistant principal, we grew in growth. West Craven Middle, the only time that they grew in the past 10, 15 years before I got there, grew those in growth. Havelock Middle, we really blew the scores off there. They redistricted the schools and pretty much sent a lot of challenged neighborhoods to the same school.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, you did well at Havelock Middle. Why don't you go over to H.J. McDonald and see what you can do with that after they redistricted.
Right.
But they did not know, CL, I had a secret.
Uh-huh.
I took that challenge. Everybody else would have ran, but I had a secret. I was from there. See what I'm saying? I knew the parents. Parents that I was teaching went to school with me, so I said, let's do it. And we broke records at H.J. McDonald. We really did. Then they sent me to West Craven High School, and the rest is history, buddy. That's where the ride or fly still manifests to this day. A school of pride. A school that always turns tragedy to triumph. The only viral school in Craven County. We went viral, and that's why I landed on the Ellen Show. So, you know, with our graduation moment. So, a lot of things. That was a short one that I threw in there, but a lot of things going on, and I'm proud of my travels through the Craven County school system and where I'm at today.
You know, Tabari, I'm trying to keep myself contained, brother, because I don't know, man. Y'all heard that. And there's so much. Like I really need to get Tabari and force him to do like a 3-night series with me on unpacking just what he just said in those few moments there. But one of the things that you talked about, and I want to, you help me, because listen, ladies and gentlemen, I know everybody knows that C.L. King is a household name throughout the globe, but I'm just teasing, man, but it wasn't always like that. And the reason why I have such an affinity and respect and admiration for Tabari, and many in my circle see that sometimes I overdo it with him, is because when I went knocking on the door to try to get my message of overcoming adversity to youth and at-risk youth and students, Tabari was the first principal of many that I tried to get to that opened his school to me. Now, that's a risk. That's a risk. All you speakers out there that want to be a professional speaker and you want to go, let me tell you something. You're dealing with someone else's children. It's not just about a gig. I don't look at them as gigs no more. I've turned down more gigs than I've actually accepted, because I'm recognizing that Tabari was in charge of little humans, and he couldn't have just anybody coming in there and speaking something contrary to the life that he was giving. So this is why I always, always, always will say this publicly. Tabari, whatever you do in life, I will always promote it. If you run for president, I will be your campaign manager, brother. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
So Charity said,
I reciprocate on that too, brother. You know, I'm right here with you.
I know, brother. Charity says, welcome back to Tabari. A lot of folks showing love, and he is the man, ladies and gentlemen. So you talked about your humble beginnings. And as you may know, I'm writing a book. It's called Who Ate My Brownie? No matter the adversity, you still can make it. And yeah, talking about my childhood and my upbringing was rough. I was a kid of the system. So when you're talking about your situation there in, you know, humble beginnings, can you give us some ingredients? Because here's what I'm saying, brother. And I've had this conversation with other leaders that, okay, if I take Tabari Wallace and he's in Duffy Field or he's in Craven Terrace or wherever, and I take Joe Smucatelli and he's in the same place, why is it that Tabari, with the same limitations yet the same accesses, can succeed or come out on top and this other one can't? Help us understand the ingredients so that maybe those that are like, man, I can't make it. Help us understand how you made it, brother.
I would say it's two things, okay? And people have heard this. When I go do my speaking engagement, this and that, I live on this. Every child, okay, is one caring adult away from success. But sometimes it truly takes a village.
Right.
Okay. And I was lucky to have that one person, the village too. I mean, yeah, when I came up, the village would get you just as fast as your mom and dad would.
Sure enough.
But mom instilled in us that the only way we were going to change our circumstance, okay, is through education and working our way out of it. Nobody was going to give us anything.
Right.
Okay. Actually, Pops, when he was home, when he did come home from the Navy, he was always gone. But when he did come home, he said, son, let me tell you something. You're either guilty what they accuse you of, or you're a victim of circumstance. Now, as a middle schooler, you don't understand what a victim of circumstance means. I was like, Pop, what you mean by that?
Right.
What do you mean a victim of circumstance? He said, you put yourself in a position to be blamed. So irregardless, one way or another, it always comes back around to you. You can't just say, oh, I this happened, blah, blah, blah. No, you put yourself in a situation and then that happened. Okay, so that put and instilled in us that we had to take charge of our lives and where we were going. People don't understand when I say ride or fly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the ride portion of ride or fly means ride is you can be successful at life, but you allow life like a raft without an oar to take you where it wanted you to go. And then you just so happen to fall into McDonald's or Burger King.
Right, right.
Or, you know, you're working in the sanitation or you're working in something that barely makes ends meet.
Right.
Where you're working and can't save anything.
Right.
You know, but you do get through life. You're still successful. Nobody can talk about you. You made it. You pay your bills.
Right.
But when you fly, brother, you take life's destiny in your own hands and you go forward. You do the work in school. You get that educational foundation that when the opportunity opens and it and presents itself, you are well fortified and you are ready to step through the door. The second part of the equation, what I'll tell you, CL, is how some make it and some don't. High expectations. High expectations is this, irregardless of what Webster tries to tell you it is with that two-tiered definition it gives you in Webster,
yeah,
it's simply this. High expectation means my parents, whoever that one caring adult is, my parent, my pastor, my teacher, my principal, I can go, but bus driver, food service person, whoever, the lady on the street, the freeze cup lady, it doesn't matter who you idolize. But that one person believes in me that I can do the work. Once a child gets that in their heart, in their intestines,
yeah,
then they will reciprocate. They won't do it for themselves, but they'll do it for that adult. They will go through the fire and through the wire for that adult so they don't let that adult down. That's high expectations. And I had that in my mom. She was not going to let us settle and a quote unquote be like everybody else.
Right.
Y'all are going to get out of here and you're going to do one of the three E's. You're going to leave this house after graduation. You're going to either be employed, you're going to enlist, or you're going to enroll. In a college, but you're going somewhere, you're not gonna stay here, and that's exactly why we are where we're at.
Can you please say that for the folks in the back? We gotta hear the three E's again, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Wallace, tell me what they were again, bro. I'm listening.
You have to, you ain't right.
go ahead, man.
You're going to have to enlist, you're going to have to enroll, or you're going to have to be employed. one way or another, you're going to leave this house.
But you getting them out of this bed, nigga.
Right? But you're not going to stay here. You're not going to stay here with mama. Mama's going to enjoy the rest of her life.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got to. I know I got an official from the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction, and I'm up here cutting a fool with him. I have on our show, our international podcast, the great, the one, the only Dr. Tabari Wallace. He is a principal's principal. He's a North Carolina principal of the year. Actually, got asked to stay on by the governor because of the influence that he had, and now his official role. I don't want to get it wrong. Your official role is what, Tabari?
I am the advisor to the state superintendent, the Office of Principal Engagement.
Aha, your friend Chip Hughes is on, and you know Chip Hughes. You and Chip go way back. And so Tabari is an advisor directly to the superintendent. Now, just help me understand, Tabari, was this a position that you filled, or was this a position created?
The position was created.
Stop. Y'all hear that, ladies and gentlemen? I'm trying to tell you, the man just told you got to do three things. You got to enroll, you got to be enlisted, or you got to be employed. Now, here's what happened. Tabari started in the classroom with 30 snotty-nosed kids and said, listen, I'm that one caring adult that believes in you. And because of his influence and the dynamic stature that he had to inspire kids to do great, every school that he went to excelled in all of their analytics. And then finally, the state said, you know what? This man is so great. We don't have a position to fill for him, so we're going to create it. And listen, if you're out there trying to say, I don't got a job, nobody going to hire me, do something so dynamic that they have to create something for you.
Oh, boy. Go ahead, OCL.
Jesus, have mercy, boy. I tell you, when I get with Tabari Wallace, it is like, I don't know, Azusa Street Revival. I don't know, man. So listen, Tabari, before we go on, I got to do this, man, because it's so important. And I hope technology is on my side. All right. I need technology to work with me. So I'm going to try to do this real slow, real quick, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to share my screen. And in doing that, you're going to get a peek into the world of CL King, as well as into the world of Tabari Wallace. All right, so y'all just roll with us for just a second. Let's see if this will work.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus. Yes, word. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Preach. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn.
Lord, give me a sign.
For this is the heritage of the service of the Lord. Preach. And the righteousness is of me, said the Lord. Preach. Amen.
Lord, give me a sign.
I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it. Pain and a hurt. Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt.
Are we not sharing? Can you not see the screen? Hold on, let me get the screen shared.
Devil, I rebuke you for what I go through. And trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here. As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark. I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
You held me down and they, nothing they can tell me now. Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign. Please show me something. I'm tired of talking to him, knowing he frightened. Crying about life ain't nothing. But you either be the one mad cause you trapped or the one hunting. Trapped in your own mind, waiting on the Lord. Or hunting with the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest hand. Through the trials and tribulations, you never let us down, Jesus. I know you're here with us now, Jesus. I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I want to feel, show me how, please. Let me take your hand, guide me. I walk slow, but stay right beside me. Devil's trying to find me, hide me. Hold up, I take that back. Protect me and give me the strength to fight.
Give me a sign. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to.
Y'all better ride with us.
Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to
here.
Lord, give me a sign. Life or death, live or die. I will never live alone.
I'm gonna leave it there.
I'm gonna get because I tried.
What?
I won't quit until I die.
What?
I'm gonna make it wrong or right.
Yeah.
Make it through the darkest night.
Yeah.
When the morning comes, you'll see that all I have is God.
Lord,
give me
a sign. Come on, give me a sign, somebody. Y'all, I know that that's totally wild for Impacting Life 24/7, but I wanted y'all to know this is really the impact. That's just a snippet, y'all. I didn't have time to go all the way I wanted to go, but I love this man because he has been that consistent for that many years, man. Chip Hughes says the people's principle. Yeah, I almost feel like, man, I want to go back to school so Tabari Wallace could be my principal.
Let me tell you something. Chip's being modest. I'm gonna tell you that Chip has done so much for this community. CL, I am so glad to call him a friend. And I had the fortune. A lot of people out there that has not had the fortune. We rode in a car for about 4 hours. I think it was five. When we delivered those signs, and I had the benefit and the privilege of sitting there having been able to converse with him all that time. And he impacted me during that time. He doesn't understand some of the things he said to me. He put things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to just take this time since we're on the air to say thank you to Chip Hughes. I mean, he is an amazing man. Very fair, right down the line,
right.
Non-judgmental. And he's just here to make sure we're safe. I mean, and that's what he does. He loves people and he wants to keep people safe. So Chip, salute you today, boss man. I'm glad you tuned in.
Definitely salute Chip Hughes. And I told him he always has a platform on Impact Life 24/7. He's been here, Sheriff Chip Hughes, Sheriff of Craven County. And like you said, yeah, very, man, when the interview that we had, it was just very, very inspiring because he is about holding his deputies accountable, but he's also about keeping the community safe. And he is a tremendous man, well respected on both sides of the aisle, as we say in politics, right?
Yeah.
So, Tabari, I don't know, where was we at, brother? I don't know. I got all distracted. Well, okay. So now, you have planted the seeds in so many areas. And turn them over. I mean, you made opportunities for other people. I mean, a person got a principalship at West Craven because you made a vacancy. Then another person got a principalship at H.J. McDonald because you made a vacancy. So now in your position, in your role, tell us some of the things that you're doing and what is your function and how are you seeing things now?
Hey, the role keeps expanding. I've been appointed to various commissions. I'm on the Pepsi Commission. I'm on the Governor's Crime Commission. We have an all-day meeting tomorrow. By the way, at the same time that meeting's going on, we're expected to be at the State Board of Education meeting that takes place tomorrow. Still don't know how I'm going to figure it out. I figured out how I'm going to do that. I'm going to have both laptops going and try to attend to both at the same time. But my main role is to, number one, we're creating a pipeline. We're creating an information pipeline throughout the field. Whereas in each quarter, I will have access and talk to the principals in the field. And we're using the POIs, the principals of the year, for each district as the conduits to information so we could be effective in passing that information along. What these principals now hear is the information before it is policy. Before this office was created by the state superintendent, Catherine Truitt, I got to give my boss lady a plug.
Let's give her a shout.
Awesome. I love her to death. She is the best thing that we've seen in a long time here. But
just parenthetically inserting, hey, boss, you can go ahead and hire me too. I'll come to some of your schools. Anyway, that was a short commercial. Go on, Tabari. You know, we always shameless plugging. You know what I'm saying?
Watch it. She'll take you up on that. Yeah, she's very insightful. Boy.
Good, good, good.
She's got an eye for talent, but she has this vision, and you know, she's been in education for a while. She used to work with McCrory as his education advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found out, me working at the state board, principals do not have a say in policy before it is thrust upon them to implement. So what my whole role is to travel around the state and meet with these principals in the district, tell them the impending policy coming. They are to give me feedback and then give us concerns that we haven't even thought of yet. Wow. So we can inform policy prior to it being enacted and passed down. Case in point, the summer school law, House Bill 82. I was on the job for a week and then Senate representatives called and was like, listen, we need you to put something together. We need you to inform this policy. And originally House Bill 82 had all the students, kindergarten through high school, going through seat time, sitting 8 hours in this chair for summer school this summer. Mm. Now, politicians, I love them to death. The General Assembly, I love them. They're good-hearted people, but sometimes they just don't know.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't tell you anything about their job. I couldn't tell you what a lawyer does because I don't know.
Right.
So when we convened the principals of the year, these were state principals of the year, and we talked about it, we found out that high school students work. High school students take care of their siblings, okay, while mom and dad works. So it is, you know, highly improbable that you're going to get them to be able to sit in the chair for 8 hours and punch the clock.
Right.
So we were instrumental in adding the and or the or. 30 days of 8 hour instruction or the 150 hours. Mm. And now the high school students, because of prior obligations and family, you know, endowments, they can do it actually at home. Nice. You know, if you take Edgenuity or credit recovery, you don't have to be in school to do that. You right. have internet at home. You can take it at home and you can do it.
Right.
High school, we don't care. As long as you satisfy the modules to get the credit.
Right.
Then we can go ahead and pass you along, give you the diploma so you can go. So that's how effective this is.
Wow.
So when we have these meetings, we call them, some of them are called caffeinated conversations and the other ones are called the principal of the year roundtables.
Right.
And we all sit there. I give them the stuff hot off the press. They internalize it, write it down. They give me feedback. They give me things that I haven't thought about. Then they take it, these principals of the year, mm-hmm. take it back to their district. The next principals meeting, they're able to give them the information I gave them, a pipeline.
Ooh.
Give them the information. All the principals are gathered. The principals then can raise their hand and give those conduits, the principal of the year, back feedback and information and questions. They come back to the next meeting. Then they share with me. I give them the answers. And if I don't give them the answers, I find the answers and give them back to them within the week. So it's a seamless communication hub where now principals have a seat at the table.
Man, you know what? My mind, I'm sorry for cutting you off, boss man, but my mind is just absolutely about to explode because I work with organizations, man, that do exactly what your model was pre what you're doing now. In other words, legislation or policy comes from on high, wherever on high is. And those people that have to enact it, who are actually boots on the ground, that's not true. That's not real leadership. You know what I mean? Like if I'm supposed to just take this that came from wherever and enact it, it may not work. There may be something broke with this as we try to enact it. But giving a voice that's called the VOC for y'all Lean Six Sigma folks, the voice of the customer, going back to the grassroots and saying, hey, listen, let's collaborate. I absolutely love it. No wonder the education system in North Carolina is going to be number one in America.
That's right. And guess what, Sia? Who better to have at the table? Because a lot of your listeners might not notice, especially in the other 33 states. I mean, the other 32 states that you have.
Yeah.
The principal, okay, is the only educational professional that their pay is dictated on the success of the students on EOCs and EOGs.
Mm.
I'm talking about a $13,000 to $17,000 swing, CL.
Ooh.
That if your children do not meet growth for 2 years in a row, you were making this. And then in February of that next year, you drop to the bottom of the pay scale.
I'm out.
You see what I mean? I mean, so why wouldn't principals have a say in the policies that will dictate their family's livelihood?
Right.
Moving forward. The only one, the superintendent, don't have their pay cut. Teachers don't have their pay cut. Teacher assistants, bus drivers, I can go on and on. Board members do not have their pay cut. The principal is the only one that has their pay compromised and sometimes rewarded. If you make growth, it goes up.
right.
You know, 10,000 to 17,000 dollars. But yeah, they got to have a seat at the table when their whole livelihood and their family's livelihood is based on the baby's successes at the end of the school.
Dr. Nate Dunlap, the executive director of PRF Institute, says that Tabari Wallace for future Secretary of Education, and I'm there. He just gonna have to. I need to know what my salary is gonna be to be his assistant. So Greg says he got my vote. You know, I believe Dr. Dunlap when he says this, but he's a 76ers fan, so you know what I mean? We might have to review what he's talking about.
76?
From what? Philly, you know what I mean? Where they serve Philly cheesesteaks and throw popcorn on people.
God, was that when Julius Erving was there? Was he a fan then?
Sorry, Dr. Dunlap. Please don't withdraw your sponsorship, man. I'm just playing.
No, I got to give it to Allen Iverson. That's when he was there.
Allen Iverson.
I
got to
give
him
credit. Okay.
And, of course, you got to have the VP. So when we get an office with Tabari, we bring in a whole entourage, just so you know, dog. So. And we hungry. We like to eat. We ain't talking about no 17% swing. We need some solid residual income.
You got that right, CL.
But, man, the pressure, you know, and you know what? I didn't know that. You know, you see the principal, the head of the battleship, smiling as the car is coming in. And, you know, you got all these dynamics placed under one roof and you're supposed to be the master conductor. And if you're not getting help, listen, ladies and gentlemen, and Tabari, please help me if you agree. And if you don't agree, you're right. But doesn't it extend? You talked about the village, but doesn't it extend? They put so much dynamic pressure on, man, if this teacher or this school is not performing. But what about outside of the school, brother? What about the home? What about the school? What about the community center? What about the faith-based organizations? What about those areas? Aren't they a part of this whole process?
Yeah, and that's part of the village. I mean, the village, when we say the village, we mean the community at large.
Right.
And principals can't do it without them.
Right.
You only have the babies for 8 hours. That's it. You know, so when right. they go home, if they're not loved, if they're not made to do their homework, if they're not supportive when we call and need assistance, if they don't come to events.
Right.
For the social-emotional help of their children, just to let them know you matter. And that I care for you, that I'm going to take time out to come watch you play football, play in a band, do a drama play, do a book report. It doesn't matter. Eat right. lunch with me.
Right.
You know, the babies need that, CL. You'll be amazed at what we see in school, man. You'll be amazed at what we see in school. And I can't fault parents. They're dealing with a lot, too.
They are.
But we do need them more in the school. And we need that true triangle, that triumphant to stay intact. For the success of all our babies.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on with the advisor to the state superintendent. He is the man that helps in all. How many counties are you overseeing? 100 and something?
115.
It's grown since when me and you started. Maybe it did. I don't know. I thought it was like 108. I can't remember. But that's
I can't forget this, CL. 115 plus 200 charters.
Oh, 200 charters too. My goodness. Do you have an assistant, brother?
I don't, but I think I'm going to be talking to my boss lady here in a minute because it's starting to get a little.
Yeah. Hey, Tabari, we want you to part the Red Sea and then walk on the water on the other side. That's what we want out of Tabari Wallace, ladies and gentlemen. And he's
It's tough.
He's getting ready. But the reason why I believe that they created this position and why they trust you is because they know more than just. See, sometimes people get positions and it tells on them eventually. You know, they're just trying to hang tight to get their gold watch in the 30-year pin. But it almost comes out of your pores, brother, that you are dripping with compassion for these babies. And when we watched you sweat to the oldies to walk 200 something miles you did, square miles or whatever, to hand out each individual sign during the COVID peak. And those hugs, I mean, I know everybody was probably freaking out. Oh, Lord, he's crossed the 6-foot barrier. But you know what? Those kids, those babies, those seniors needed it, brother. And you were there. Now, talk to us about, as we're coming out, we see the light at the end of the tunnel from COVID. What are some lessons learned that you've experienced through this relative to education as a whole?
I will say this in the teacher perspective. because I'm largely proud of our teachers of this state, man. It's of the Old North State. Teachers are capable of doing anything when the challenge presents itself. Mm-hmm. What people don't understand is what our teachers had to endure, CL. One day, that Friday, we were in school.
Yeah.
Everything was normal. March 13th, I'm going to tell you, I know the date. March 15th, the governor says, we're done. So the teachers are like, what? I mean, there was people that didn't have laptops, iPads. We didn't even know what to do after that. So we began flying this plane while we were building it. And the people don't understand that. We're flying it in the air, and we'll put things on the plane as we're going to make this thing work so these babies can finish.
Yeah.
And in a week's time, we retooled, we rehabilitated, we revisioned what we were going to do,
right,
and we came out blazing, and the babies followed. So that's one big lesson learned. A lot of teachers, a lot of our veteran teachers, don't want to mess with technology.
Technology
just over my head.
In a piece of paper.
Yeah, but now they're experts at it because they had to. They had to meet the challenge and needs of their babies.
Right.
As far as the children, I just can't say it. I get choked up every time I talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
This graduating class, CL.
Yes.
Is the class that endured the storm before Florence. Nobody talks about that one because Florence was so bad.
Right.
Then Florence came.
Yep.
We had an ice storm that winter. Nobody remembers that.
I remember it.
All right. The second half of their junior year, COVID hit. They were sent home for 3 months, okay, and couldn't really finish, you know, but we got them through.
Yeah.
But we couldn't really finish. And then they were out of school, back and forth, toured with quarantine, 8A, B day, quads, digital learning, hubs, internet problems, everything thrown at these children, everything. And these babies, that's why I call them the class that turned tragedy to triumph. These babies took what was thrown at them, persevered through each and everything that was thrown at them. When we told them to come to school, they came. When we told them not to come to school because it was quarantined, unsafe, they did. Right. They continued to do their work. And then they were standing on that graduation stage. I watched Havelock and I watched New Burns and I watched anyone that was on Facebook because I wanted to see those children with their head unabowed, walk proud across that stage. And they could truly say, I did it. I did it. They had to take the same test, CL, with half the instruction time.
That's
we
right.
only took with 90-minute classes got switched to 45.
That's right.
Because of the blue screen effect. Those children made it through the fire, took it all the way through the wire, really on their own. They finished it. And that's why we should celebrate them. We should keep celebrating this class because they endured. They didn't have one normal year, period.
Not one.
Their whole high school career, they never had a normal year. And they still came across that stage. Head on about.
Tabari, did you give the commencement speech at your old school?
I did.
I saw you all G'd up. I said that they done flew that brother in. They said, no, we got to have the rider fly. We appreciate you, but man, we got to have Tabari on the microphone here. Let me just interject this, Tabari. Dr. Wallace. Ladies and gentlemen, I am on the air live with the one and only Tabari Wallace. Dr. Tabari Wallace, soon to be getting his doctorate here in a couple more months. Will it be local somewhere I can attend, or I got to fly somewhere?
Oh, no, you're going to attend this one. I'm going to have everybody attend. And if you can't attend, we're going to celebrate it big time once I can.
Where is it going to be? Where are you graduating from?
East Carolina. It'll be East Carolina.
Oh, I can go to Greenville, brother. Is it going to be a ticket thing, though?
No, don't worry. You get in.
Okay. You get me the dates, brother, and I'm there with pom-poms.
Let's do it, brother.
Here's one thing that, listen, a little parenthetic statement. As Tabari knows, I've given, since I started with him, I've given about 240 speeches throughout North Carolina and throughout the world. And this coming Saturday, I'll be giving a commencement speech at my son's high school, who's graduating. And some of the things that Tabari was ruminating about that the kids had to go through is exactly the message I want to deliver. One other thing that I noticed, though, Tabari, is that they went through, they had to watch as this nation was hemorrhaging with division.
Yeah.
They had to watch as we didn't, the political upheaval. They had to watch there was marches on every continent in the world except Antarctica. I done did the research, y'all.
Yep.
And they had to watch this and still try to see if they could persevere and stand through all that. One of the things that I equate this generation to, this graduating class, is the World War II generation. I know we call them the greatest generation, and I concur, but I feel like this graduating class is going to be mentioned among that generation because of all that they've seen within their lifetime. Some of the stuff that in their short span of life, you know, 18 years, some of the stuff they have seen you wouldn't see in 100 years.
Right.
They saw it in just their school years, and in the last four, it was traumatic. And yeah. So when you watch those kids and you got to see them, Tabari, what did that do for you, brother?
When I was sitting on the stage, and you can see on Facebook, people say, you always smile. And I said, well, on that stage, I had a reason to smile.
Yeah.
Because those babies had a sparkle in their eye. This is probably the second time I'm saying this on the show. You have to dwell in the valley to appreciate the mountaintop.
Yes.
If the mountaintop is given to you, you never know why it's the mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
And these children just kept clawing. Kept, and there's one thing I didn't say earlier. I never heard a student complain.
Me neither.
Never heard them complain.
The adults complained more, bro.
Yeah, you got that right. But they never complained.
Right.
I mean, it's just, so when I see the babies today, I just look at them. Because number one thing everybody keeps talking about, this loss of structure. These children aren't prepared for this because they lost so much instruction. Let me tell you what's more valuable than that loss of instruction.
Go ahead.
The ability to persevere and to overcome any challenge that is presented for you, okay, or presented to you.
Mm-hmm.
Employers today, CL, you're in the real world. Employers are not looking for textbook theorists.
Right.
They're not looking for that. They're looking to how you can use all of the educational foundation that you've gathered to overcome the problem sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
They want you to be able to think. These children can think. They have something more valuable than that.
Right.
They have persevered through, and they made it through on their own without the full teaching of their teachers.
Right.
So me as an employer, I'm looking for that.
That's what I'm looking for.
Me as an employer, I'm looking for the class of 2021.
Yes.
Because I can teach you anything.
Yes.
And you'll be able to internalize it, use it, and make it effective in their work on the job at that time.
Man, that's what I'm talking about, man. My man, Art Mitch, I had him on my show a couple weeks ago, Tabari. Art Mitch, you need to connect with Tabari. This young brother's a speaker, up-and-coming speaker, and he's got a story that's absolutely remarkable. And he says that, man, y'all getting me hype up in here. And so, Art Mitch, reach out to Tabari, man. He is a great man and might be able to help you out. You said something there that I want to pick your brain, and I know I'm not a politician, and nobody governs this show. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, as I've said very often, if you don't like what I say, go get your own show, and then you can watch yourself. But I'm not going to ask a tough question. I am going to ask a question for Dr. Wallace's mind relative to education, because he just said something that I've been debating with myself about. Our current structure in education, our current model. Now, what you're doing in North Carolina is continuous process improvement, passing the funnel up. That's awesome. But I'm talking about, do you see us sustaining this current educational model that we have right now? Or should there, or do you envision other things being weaved in to give more of that resiliency outside of just textbook learning?
I will say this. I think more brevity, and we can expand our approach somewhat to encompass some of what we learned today, But the biggest problem, and I'll say with changing too much, is test security.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because when we give you a diploma, it's accredited. And every assessment that you took so that we could award that particular point, which is with or that grade that holds a grade point average, all right, for the ranking of students, so colleges can do their selection and this and that, but you have to have test security for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we can't encompass a lot of what's going on at home and mm-hmm. this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But school is the microcosm of life.
Right.
I mean, that is a child's job until they graduate.
Right.
And then they go into the real world. And we try our best to duplicate a lot of life's experiences. And we don't have to do it intentionally. Sometimes it just happens. You
it
know, conflict
happens.
Happens in school. Disagreements happen in school.
Right.
So I will say that. So can we expand it some? Yes. And can we do more of duplicating life circumstances in school? Yes. But again, we do know once you test something in a controlled environment and then it really happens in a non-controlled environment,
right,
your results can sometimes become skewed.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm with you, man. I just have been wondering about that because, you know, I've had just conversations with young people and, you know, they said, man, I wish we had this, you know, like would whatever the case was, it was like, man, I wish we could do this in school. And you know, building upon that resiliency, here's what I see. And tell me if you see this. Okay. Not every kid is destined to graduate and then go to college, but every kid can graduate and be productive and successful. Do you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
And I'm not diminishing or putting a premium on ignorance, but what I am saying is that this resilience has taught them, like you said, that even when I have to learn in a totally different environment that I haven't learned in my whole education period, I can still adapt. So maybe we've taught them adaptability too, huh?
We did. Adaptability is the key word of what they just went through with this pandemic. But CL, you just said a big thing and it comes back to a child.
Hold on, Doctor. Yes, you can, Dr. Dunlap. Just type it in, brother. Or if you want to call me, I can put you on live. Either one you want to do, Dr. Dunlap. If you want to type it or if you want to call me, I can put you on the air live. Either way. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tabari.
Okay. And you just said something. And a lot of people say children are failures and this and that. Sometimes children don't have a choice. And when they don't have a choice, they shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of kids, that's the tenets of a child. They want all the freedom with no responsibility.
Right.
So what I challenge every educator to do that's listening and across this state, all right, is to make sure you keep choice in the back of your mind. And I really need you to take that career and college promise serious. Our approach to self-actualization of children.
Mm-hmm.
That's career and college promise.
Mm.
West Craven, what we did was all the students that were destined to go to college and stated they wanted to go to college in ninth grade, we gave them AVID strategies.
Mm.
You know, the WICR strategies that will help them become a better prepared college students. But the ones who were not going to college, we had something for them too. And this doesn't happen everywhere.
Right.
We had Career Academy.
Ooh.
Where they explore all the careers that we offered via CTE and the high needs job right here in this community. We had that in the school. And they take four tiered courses as they go through prescribed course load. And when they finish with an internship their second semester of their senior year so they can have on the job training, on the job knowledge, networking with that job. So when they graduate, It's only likely that they'll seamlessly transition right into the job. And if they need the two more years at Craven Community College to finish the industry certification, then they go seamlessly into Craven Community College via our partnership.
Oh, wow.
So that's career and college promise. That's the promise. We made it happen. We turned it into action. We just didn't say graduate. Okay, now you go pursue. No, we gave you a choice in school and it started in the ninth grade. I wish we could expose them in middle school.
Yes.
So they can be thinking about what they want to do when they get into ninth grade.
Man, I have mercy, ladies and gentlemen. This is why we needed to have Dr. Tabari Wallace on for 7 days straight because he is just absolutely a reservoir with absolutely no end to knowledge and expansion. Dr. Dunlap, you want to call me? I'm able to give my number out publicly to the world now, 252-622-2561. You can call in. We got him for a few more minutes. You need to hustle up because up in Philly, I know y'all be taking y'all time. Let's go, brother. So let me just put a little more pressure on Dr. Wallace because I saw a post recently about you.
Uh-oh. Oh, Lord.
Now, let me preface this by saying, if somebody showed me a video of Tabari Wallace robbing the bank, I wouldn't believe it. I would say he was in there intervening, stopping the robbers and saving the day. That's what I would say. So, Dr. Dunlap, are you on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just give me 1 second. Let me finish this point. When we're talking about what you're going to do next, someone I saw made a post, and since it's public, I'll just say it. They said, Tabari, we appreciate your escalation to your new position and the dynamic impact that you're having throughout the state, and we appreciate you impacting 1.5 million students. But we also know that there is a vacancy in the superintendent seat in Craven County, and somebody said, Tabari, come on back home, man. I knew I was not told to go put some pressure on Tabari. I'm sorry, man. I'll just leave that alone. I just want you to know that if you run for superintendent, you wouldn't even have to run. All you have to do is put your name in the bucket. They like, okay, that's enough. Dr. Nate Dunlap, executive director of PRF Institute, is on with us. He's got a question for the great Tabari Wallace. Go ahead, Dr. Dunlap.
Best, brother. You are best. Dr. Wallace, listen, I've been following you ever since I seen CL King put you up there for the world to see. So we definitely appreciate the work that you're doing. My mother lived in North Carolina. I have a daughter that comes through the school system in North Carolina, my baby girl, and she's a good kid. And I think it has a lot to do with the school system that she was in. Here's my big question. It seems like there's a lot of good programming that's involved within the school system in North Carolina. What's your thoughts on personal financial management in the high school years? And the reason I'm asking that is because most high schools around the country do not offer anything. And what I deal with is the fact that the educational systems and our churches are not taking that part of it seriously. And so we have what you call the babies who are not prepared, and I'm seeing them on the back end, which is oftentimes not so pleasant.
I will tell you this. Was that it?
Yeah.
Dr. Dunlap?
You good, Dr. Okay. Dunlap?
I'm good.
Okay, I'm gonna let you go, and I'll let Tabari answer on air, okay?
All right,
thank you, sir.
Thank you, Doc, and I appreciate it. And look, I can see why his daughter is all successful. Did you see? Do you see that? See that maturation? Again, high expectations. My father believes in me. You could just hear it in his voice. He's so proud of his daughter.
Yes, sir.
And his children. But I'll tell you this. We saw the urge of personal finance that needed to be added to the curriculum. I was on the state board when it was added as advisor 2 years ago. We do now have a personal finance course that is taught in high school, but only last year's freshmen, they will take it as seniors as a social studies requirement. Okay, now the personal finance that we're gonna teach may not exactly look like what you taught in church, okay? But it does encompass the needs and the expectations of society in regards to you managing your personal finance.
Mm-hmm.
So that is there. Prior to that being done, it was done in an elective as a CTE course,
mm-hmm.
and it was called finance. But I will say this, okay, because it truly takes a village. When those seniors, and again, it's still 2 years out unless we have people early graduating that's going to do it next year, but it should be started to be taught this coming year now with the juniors and then the following year with those juniors becoming seniors. I will say this. We need to supplement the curriculum, all right, to make it relevant to individual cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Personal finance looks different in African-American community than it looks in the Caucasian.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Personal finance looks different in the Asian communities, okay, because they're a business-minded entity. They want to own a lot of stores, okay? Then it looks in the Middle Eastern type of households. And I can go Latino, Mexican, I can keep going all the way down the paradigm.
Right.
It looks different. We're going to teach a centralized approach to personal finance.
Mm-hmm.
But I do challenge my community and all the communities, listen,
mm-hmm.
that you need to personalize that curriculum and actually supplement what we're teaching and make it relevant, using relevant examples for our babies, so that when they encompass or they really encounter that external stimuli that may do damage to their personal finance or may try to be taken advantage of, or they want to do stocks and we haven't taught them that in our community, we need to be teaching that. So that is where wealth is grown, taking the money you have and letting your money work for money.
Right.
That's what we miss in African-American community anyway. So that's what we miss. So hey, Dr. Dunlap, I would say, brother, you a doctor, I know you know. But you need to teach your children. And again, look at the standards for personal finance. It's on DPI's website. It's not a secret. Look at what we teach and supplement that with your personal life lessons to your babies. And your babies will not have a problem when they get older. They'll be fully step back.
Boy, I tell you what, Dr. Tabari Wallace and Dr. Nate Dunlap need to get, man, we need to have a show with them too. Boy, that was dope, man. And you know, you're right. And here's the deal, Dr. Wallace. When you say supplement, I think my wife and I took that one seriously, because when my daughters started working, we didn't want them to have to go through, you know, I know everybody sees me as a highly successful six-figure earning person, but it always hasn't been this way, ladies and gentlemen. When my daughters got a job, they got their nice little job and they still living at daddy's home. But I said, listen, it's not always going to be like this. Let me help you. Let us show you this little ember you need to create called your credit. Because, man, if you destroy this while you're only 21, girl, you're going to be working till you're 41 to get it right. So now my daughter, she went, I showed her, said, get a secure little credit card, right? And only use it for gas and pay it. Every time you pay it early, pay it off, right? But except for $5, her credit score is like 730, 740. And I said, girl, you can go out here and get you anything you want. I said, but you got to understand the value of money. You got to understand the value of your name. Your credit is your name, man. And if you roll up in there and you say, I want that car, they might give it to you for 30% because you got a 500 credit score. You know what I'm saying? And so I everybody listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. If you want more, if you want to know more, I'm just saying reach out to Tabari. I hope y'all just blow his inbox up because he is a celebrity anyway and he can handle it. So Dr. Wallace, I just want you to know, and I know we're getting ready to roll out because I know your time is very precious. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he drives every day. Is it okay if I say this?
Yes, sir.
He drives every day, Monday through Friday, 2 hours to the state capitol, to the DPI, and then drives back home every day. He drove in and changed in his Superman suit just to get to this show. He does it every day. Tabari, if there was an award I could give you, brother, I don't know. Send me your Cash App and I'll put a little money in your kitty, brother. All I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is we need more people like this that say, hey, man, listen, I'm sold out to the prospect of our babies. Now, Dr. Wallace, before we let you go, because as you know, this is so, so important. Before we let you go, I need you to give a small word of encouragement. Again, you get to have the stage keynote speech. We got to do it in a minute, though. Keynote speech to our graduating class 2021. I want you to speak to them. Dr. Tabari Wallace, the floor is yours.
All right, students, as you go out into the world in an intent to change it, I want you to remember three I's. That's what we're going to live by. I definitely want you to make an investment in whatever you do. And when I say make an investment, you're going to give that blood, that extra blood, sweat, and tears as you go forward and invest. And when you invest, you want a return. You don't just throw it out there and teach to the middle. You actually go for each and every. So that's what I want you to do. That's the first I. The second I is I want you to make an impact. What will your dash mean? And right now, you're at the beginning of your career and you can go ahead, remember ride or fly. You can go ahead and fly instead of riding on life and making an impact. And that is your dash, not on your tombstone, but in your career. All right, how many did you impact? Well, how will you be remembered and how people will remember you? Last but not least, I want you all to know that you were put on this earth for a reason. And the last I is to inspire. I want you to inspire all around you, as y'all call it, my team, my this, my that. I want you to inspire all the people around you, above you and below you, to move from good to great. all right, to move from good to great. Always remember, it's progress, not perfection. All right, as long as you keep moving forward, you will be a success in life. That is a promise coming from DCL King and Jabari Wallace.
Ride or fly, baby. Listen, listen, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, if you want to connect with Tabari, just go to T-A-B-A-R-I Wallace on every social media outlet. He's also at the Department of Public Instruction. You'll see his face up there. Tabari, I was negligent in one thing, brother. I got to get one point out to you. And I'd like for you to just make a note of this, all right? You can just write, you can write deaf students. My wife is an interpreter, and she interpreted New Bern High's graduation for one deaf student. And she said she would love to see better resources and access for deaf education if students must attend hearing public schools and they can't attend deaf schools. She's been interpreting in the school system for 15, 16 years, and there are still many challenges. I know that it's a small population, but those kids need full access too. So that may be something that you can just explore because she has seen her share of challenges in 15 years in that arena, okay?
Okay, and just let her know that, number one, if it's in that IEP, it is non-negotiable and it is a shall by law,
right?
By policy, by law. So, and she's an advocate for her babies, but I hate to do this, but those parents need to understand their rights. They need to get that IEP handbook and read it thoroughly and make sure that we are providing the services needed to make sure that we level the playing field for those hard of hearing babies. I mean, that's just how it is. So, and remember, there's two schools, one on the East Coast, one on the West for blind and hard of hearing children. So.
Yeah, Gallaudet is here in Washington, D.C. So, yeah. Dr. Tabari Wallace, this has been epic. I'm going to post this. This show going to be everywhere. In fact, I might even send it to Ellen and say, yo, you need to have me on your show. Why you got him on there?
Hey, Ellen contacted me about 2 months ago. Send it to Ellen.
Yeah, I know.
She's gonna do a culminating event when she leaves the air. I don't know if I'm gonna be on it, but she's reached out. But send it. The more the merrier. Heck, maybe me and you will be up there.
Hey, well, listen, Tabari, if you get there before me, if you reach that mountaintop before me, I know you'll remember me. If I reach that mountaintop before you, brother, I'm gonna bring the ladder so you can climb right on up with us, dog. We gonna all eat good together. You hear me, bro?
Let's do it, CL.
All right, ladies.
Iron sharp as iron, brother.
That's for sure. I hope this is sharpened a lot of iron today. Thank you, Dr. Wallace. We appreciate you. Drive safe. We'll keep you in our prayers, brother. Ride or fly.
Ride or fly, CL. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, I had Dr. Tabari Wallace on our show, and we're so blessed to... Man, was that hype or what, y'all? Was that hype? I don't even know what to say, man. I remember the first time I spoke for him years ago. This is back in 2009, first principal to give me a job to speak. And when he introduced me and he had those kids, man, Tabari is a side DJ. He had his sound system set up in the gym. He had those kids. It was the hypest thing I had ever seen. And I was just like, well, what do you need me here for? You don't need no motivational speaker. I need to come and introduce you. And he has been that way the whole time. He's on the football field, coaching the kids, screaming and hollering, waving his flag, cheering them on, hyping the band up, messing with senior pranks. I mean, he is just a principal's principal. When you look at principals, that you're going to find it very hard to find someone that exceeds what Tabari Wallace has done. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Greg. Singleton, we definitely want to have you back. Let's circle back. Just hit Greg up, man. Let's get you back on the show, okay? We appreciate you guys. And we will be back here tomorrow night talking about education and giving young people an opportunity. Greg has put together a career day with 6 professionals in various industries. And so if you got students that are kind of like they're graduated, school is out, they're trying to figure out some things, tune in tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Impacting Life 24/7. And give them an opportunity to hear from different people in the industry kind of what it takes to get where they are. You know, some standards, some on-ramps to them. Man, it's going to be a great show. Thank you, Greg, for putting that together. We will do that tomorrow night, a great career day to end the 2020 year. And then, of course, Saturday, I'll be giving a keynote speech for the graduating class of 2021 entitled I'm Still Standing. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.